It is great to see everyone back this evening. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We looked a couple of weeks ago at a series, or began a series a couple of weeks ago, looking at what is an ambassador. If you'll recall there from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 20, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and tells them that we are ambassadors of Christ. One of the things that he says is we are those that beg or plead with others to be right with God. And we do so not just in the way that we speak, but the main thing that we do it is in the way that we live. And we think about that representative of Jesus, to be his ambassador here in this life for those that we come into contact with. And you think about being here for this time, to be here for being able to be that representative of Christ. We could think about places like Esther, chapter 4 there with Mordecai, when he tells her that, you know, help is going to come, but who knows if you're here for such a time as this. Well, obviously, we know that she was. We know that we are here for such a time as this, to be those representatives for Christ here, to help others come to Christ, to know him, to live for him. Tonight, I want to take a look for a few moments at where those ambassadors are. And here in Ephesians chapter 3, if you notice verse number 21, Paul writes here to the church at Ephesus, says, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We glorify God in the name of Jesus, or by Christ Jesus, to all generations. Well, who does that? It is the church. And so where are the ambassadors? They're in the church. We looked this morning at the church. The fact that the church of Christ, his possession, is right in its authority, that we are right as far as our origination, where we came from. It's prophesied about there in Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 3 we looked at. Daniel chapter 2, specifically we looked at verses 44 and 45. But you think about that kingdom, the church that was going to come, that has been instituted, as we looked in Acts chapter 2. And we look at the responsibilities. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, singular. And in the church, we bring glory to God. We glorify him in our worship. We glorify him as we assemble together and we praise him. But we also glorify him outside of here in the way that we live our lives. You know, you think about oftentimes throughout the scriptures, perhaps we think about these letters, these epistles, like the letter to the church at Ephesus, that being read amongst the congregation, being read in front of the congregation, those letters that we see in these epistles. But you know, the main thing that we see every single time is the fact that this is how they were to live their life every single day, not just amongst one another, but outside of the church. And so this evening, I would like to look at what we must do in order to bring glory to God in the church. And so for us to glorify God, we've got to demonstrate who we are. Here in Ephesians, if you look at chapter 5 and verse number 1, Paul writes to tell the church that they are to be imitators of God as dear children. Well, what does that mean? It means that my responsibility then, not only to my brethren, but those around me, if you back up to chapter 4, has to be demonstrated and seen. If you back up to chapter 4, verse number 25, we see that word therefore in 5 verse 1. So we back up and look at the context. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's what it is to be an imitator of God as dear children. We get to work. We don't just tell people that we are a Christian. As we talked about this morning, even in our Bible class, we need to be those that demonstrate our faith in the way that we live. Let others see Christ living in us. When you think about spending time together and being able to fellowship with one another, we don't need to be dishonest with one another. We need to be able to trust and count on one another. Not just, again, in here, but outside of here. When we get out into the world, we have to realize that there are times that perhaps in our jobs and in our manner of life, the things that we do, we may be the only Christian. And so it's those times that we should be leaning on one another. You know, the thing is, back then, they didn't have the same capabilities that we have today to be able to communicate. I mean, everybody, we are tied down with one of these, aren't we? We all have them. You know how quick and easy it is when we're struggling just to pick that up? Shoot a text. Hey, say a quick prayer for me. You know, we can lean on one another so easily now. And yet, we seem to be farther and farther and farther from one another. Not growing closer together. Not using these tools that we have and the technology that we have to grow closer together. But instead, we use these things and we turn to where? Usually we turn to social media, we turn to the world. And that's where we seem to get all of these people to, I need my prayer warriors, or I need this or that. Call on your brethren. We just pick up the phone. You can call me anytime. You can shoot me a text. Be more than happy to talk to you, more than happy to pray for you, pray with you, whatever you need. But you see, we don't turn to one another that way. Instead, we turn back to the world. When we think about where the ambassadors are, they're not in the world, they're in the church. And so we need to count on our brethren. We need to turn to our brethren. We should be looking out for one another. You see, we look out for those people that have a need, and I think it's incredible. We have an eldership who looks for ways to be able to help people, not only within the church, but even without, to be able to help them and use those as ways to bring people to Christ. It's an incredible thing to be a part of the church, the body of Christ, and we bring glory to Him, not because we come together and worship, but because we glorify Him in everything we do in our life. We are honest, we are dependable, we can be counted upon. We're hard workers. I watch you guys, and there are times that we've come together in the 8.5 years that we've been here. We have come together to do so many things. I still remember a house right down here that we walked circle after circle. You just wouldn't stop, would you? Pick up rocks. Keep picking up rocks. I didn't like to pick up rocks. I was done after one trip around that house. We walked like 5 times around that house picking up rocks. We cut wood. We find and see things that need to be done for people. So you just stop and do it. It's incredible. We have that attitude of being a servant and of helping people. So we have that attitude already and we're showing those things. Then we have to realize and understand my responsibility as an ambassador of Christ in the church is to help show those people, including our fellow brethren, what it is to be a Christian and what it is to be an ambassador, a representative of Jesus Christ. I don't need to turn to the world. I need to turn to my brethren. You watch the change. Look at chapter 4, verse 28 for just a second. I want you to pay attention to this change that takes place. Let him who stole steal no longer. You know why? Because what they figured out is, oh, look, I don't need to give place to the devil. In fact, I don't need, if I've got a problem with somebody, then I just go handle it, take care of it. There in verse number 26, I don't let the sun go down on it. I just go take care of it. I make sure that I'm honest and dependable, trustworthy. And it's incredible what happens when you have that type of influence on somebody. Pay attention to what 28 says. Let him who stole steal no longer. You know why he doesn't do that? You know why they don't give place to the devil? Because they don't see you do it. Because they watch, and what they pay attention to is the fact that as a representative of Christ, that's not your behavior. That's not how you act. They change. The change that occurs, the change that takes place. But, so in contrast then to stealing, let him labor, working with his hands. And you know what happens? When you help take care of somebody, what they do then is look for somebody they can help out. They were working diligently and taking care of things. And we have a lot of brethren. There's plants back there this evening, but how many times do we walk in and find things that people are wanting to share? A lot of times it's the fruit and vegetables that they've grown in their gardens. And we think about those that just want to give, just want to share, just want to help out others. That's the attitude that comes from those who represent Christ every single day. Those who want to be imitators of God. Instead of getting caught up in those things at work and in life where all we do is get caught up in the negative and talking trash about people. Do you notice that all of that changes as well? Look at verse 29. No corrupt word it no longer is coming out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification. Building people up, building up those around you. In verse 30 says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You don't need to be behaving this manner any longer. If we're going to be imitators of God as dear children, do we see a book that God writes that says, I'm bitter about the way that they treated me and handled me? I'm going to fill you with all of these things, the negative, this negative influence. No, instead what we see is put all that away from yourself and do what? In verse 32 he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted. What we do is want the absolute best for one another. And we demonstrate those things. When we demonstrate them, notice chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. This is the expectations God has of us. And as representatives of His in the church, this is what everybody else gets to see in us as well. We think about places like John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus there says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So as we keep his commandments, as we put away malice and bitterness and overflow of wrath and all of these things are away from our life and we demonstrate and show that love that he would have us to show and we obey his commandments and demonstrate that love for him, that's what brings others to Christ. Because what they see, this person actually means what they say and they live what they talked about. Most of the time, people will not listen to you at all until you have shown them the type of person that you are. Those that follow after Christ. Those that do what he would have us to do. Look with me at Galatians chapter 5. When we think about being an imitator of God as dear children, then we show those characteristics of God. There in Galatians chapter 5, we see what the world looks like beginning in verse 19. In verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You see that in verse 24? I think often we go to verse 23, and I've been as guilty of this as anybody. We just stop right there. But look at verse 24, because it ties back to that fruit of the Spirit, those godly characteristics that we then demonstrate. If we, those who are Christ, those who are His ambassadors of Christ, those of who are representatives of Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. He finishes that out. If these are the demonstration of characteristics and qualities that you have in your life, you're not going to be conceited. You're not going to fight. You're not going to envy what everybody else has. Instead, you're going to want the absolute best. You're going to celebrate those things. Those are the godly characteristics that we get to show. The godly characteristics that get to be on display. If you go with me to Acts chapter 8, I often think about this and we've talked about these things before, but often think about the attitude of Christians. And this isn't Christians just here, but all over the world. As those ambassadors, those representatives of Christ, this is what our life should look like. In chapter 7, you have Stephen is martyred, the first Christian martyr. The church, there's a man named Saul in chapter 8 who begins wreaking havoc. And they go everywhere in verse 4. Here in verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. That preaching of Christ, that teaching of Christ. You know, the thing is, this is the effects of chapter 7 could have had a couple of different effects on the saints, on the church. As they're scattered, it could have caused them to just go into hiding and say, I'm out. I just watched a man lose his life for the cause of Jesus Christ. I just watched a man who preached one of the greatest sermons going all the way back throughout the Old Testament to be able to show Christ all the way to today and being able to help them to see and to understand. And instead of wanting to listen, instead of doing what he said, they stop their ears, they yell, they take him outside the city and they stone him to death. He lost his life for it. They may have scattered, but they didn't go into hiding. They started preaching and teaching Jesus. They were those ambassadors, those representatives. It's the same thing for me today. As a Christian, we are to make sure that we don't go into hiding. That we don't hide behind anything. No excuses. We just go live for Him. We preach and teach through the way that we live, helping others to see it in us. In order for me to bring glory to God in the church, I've got to show that I'm the church. I've got to talk about the one that I belong to. I've got to help others to see in the manner in which I live that I represent Christ. And I'm proud of it. I'm thankful to be able to show Christ living in me. Here lately we've seen a lot of people who are disgruntled with the country in which we live. Angry about it. I see people who they defend it to a T. And they are going to take up arms and do whatever it takes to defend the country that we live in. I've got a good friend. He's a brother in Christ. And he said, if you don't want to live here, you could leave. But he said, I'm sick and tired of the way that people treat us. And I said, well, what about your fellow Christians? And he kind of hung his head and he said, Corey, you know that I've not always been the strongest Christian. And he said, I have even been one to tear down the church rather than build it up. And he said, and to your point, one of the things that we talked about was, he said, I have been that one that defended my country more than I defended my Savior. And he said, this isn't where I want to spend eternity. I want to spend eternity in heaven. And we got to talking and talked through a lot of things. And it was a really great conversation because when we finished that, he said, this is something that you could be prayerful about for me. And I would tell you, you could pray for me about the same thing. We know people that will defend things that in this world don't amount to anything. We talked this morning about the fact that you're going to have nations in Daniel 2 that are going to rise up. Babylon rose up. What happened? They fell. They got conquered by the Medo-Persians. What happened to them? Well, they fell. They got conquered by the Grecians. What happened to the Grecians? Well, they fell. They got conquered by the Romans. And the Romans imploded. Well, guess what? Our country may be one of the greatest, and I love living where we live, so don't misunderstand me. But we've got to understand that these earthly governments are going to rise and they're going to fall. But the church is going to be forever. It's eternal. It is never going to rise, and it's never to a point that it could catastrophically implode, because God will not leave it to man. It's His. It's never going to fall. It's going to last for all eternity. So we've got to understand that's the side that we've got to be on. And while I love my country and where I live, if you look with me, please, at Philippians chapter 3, I want us to notice something. Philippians chapter 3. I love where we live. And I love the country in which we live. But beginning in verse 17 of Philippians chapter 3, brethren, join me in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. You see, those that Paul says, there are those that would even claim to be members of the church. Their God is their belly. He says, we've got to remember our citizenship is in heaven. We don't hold on to physical things. Our citizenship, where we long to be. We long for Christ to return. We long to spend eternity with him. And if that's the way that we long to be, notice what he does. He will transform our lowly bodies to be glorified with him. I can't wait. I can't wait. Now, Friday was a tough day, but it was also a day that they couldn't help but smile. When we think about the hope of heaven that we have, or when this life is over, I hope it brings a smile to your face, and it makes you long to be there. As ambassadors of Christ, if we live our life according to his command, that citizenship in heaven is what we have to look forward to. And I've got to be that if I'm going to claim to be a follower of Christ, if I'm going to claim to be a Christian, a member of the body of Christ, then my responsibility is to make sure that that's the way that my life is lived, to show that my citizenship is not here. It's there. I have to show people what it is to be the church. I have to help them to see and to understand. Because more than anything, what we first have to want, and I think at times it's easy for us to say, but we don't live it the same. I can tell you all day long that I long to be in heaven. But there are times when I hang on so tightly to the things in this world that I let those things consume me and eat me up. That they take my time, that they take my focus, that they take my energy. Brethren, if I long to be in heaven, it can't be that way. I've got to make sure that instead what I show is that while, yeah, I can put my hands to work and I can make sure that I demonstrate those things in my life, but more importantly and most importantly, in all of those things that I do, what I'm helping people to see and understand is I'm not trying to hold on to all that this world has to offer. Instead, what I'm doing is using those things that I have the ability to do, whether it's my job or going out and being in public and around people, it's always helping them to see and understand all I want to do is get to heaven. It's all I want to do. You can have my house. You can have my animals. You can have it. I just want to go to heaven. It's all I want to have happen. My citizenship is there. I understand what it is to want the freedoms that we have and enjoy the freedoms that we have. But I can go to heaven without a gun. I can go to heaven without property. I can go to heaven without the things of this world. But I cannot go to heaven without Christ. I can't. It's not possible. And so my focus needs to make sure that it's on him at all times. Yeah, I still have to go to work. Yes, I still have to do things. And I have to be those productive members of society and help everybody else to see it as well. But what they need most importantly to see in me is I'm not trying to gain the treasures of this earth. I want the treasures in heaven. I want to spend eternity with Christ. That if he's coming back at any moment, I'm ready to take off. You know, the exciting part is this. I don't know if you guys like superheroes. My favorite superhero is Superman, okay? Say what you want about anybody else. He's the best, period, okay?
Period. Batman is a man. Wears a costume. Superman can get shot and a bullet just bounces off, okay? He's Superman. Period. Always wanted to fly. I don't like heights. You know that I don't even like to be this high off the ground. But let me tell you something. When Christ returns, you're going to watch. We're going. We're going to fly like Superman. We're going to fly like Christ. We get to go be with Him for all eternity. And I promise you, on that day, you'll see me with the biggest smile on my face. And I'm not going to look down. But I'm not going to care how high we go either. I'm ready to go. I want to go be with Him. I want to live with Him for all eternity. And I want everybody to know it. I don't want to hide it. I don't want to hold back. But we've got to understand, in order for us to do that, to glorify God here in this life, I've got to be a part of the body of Christ. That's who glorifies God. That's who shows Him living in us every single day. We've got to help people to see it and to understand it. In the things that we do, the things that we say, the way that we live, every single day, we get to show people that we are a child of God. We get to be that ambassador for Christ. Let me ask you this question. Jesus comes back tonight. You flying? You ready to go? Or do you need to change some things? Are there some things in your life that you need to make right so that you can fly? So that you can go be with Him? Because if you need to change something, don't wait. Take care of it. Maybe tonight you need to become a child of God. Maybe tonight you need to put Christ on in baptism to have Him add you to His body, the church, so that you can live for Him and demonstrate that life, live for Him every day until either your life here ends or He returns. I don't know which one's going to happen. Or maybe as a child of God, you've gotten caught up in the things of this world. And you're a better ambassador for this physical life than for Christ. And there are things that you need to change to be that true ambassador for Him. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.